Welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, director of Lincoln City Libraries. I was pretty excited to find today's book on this year's American Library Association Notable Books list. It's The Feather Thief, Beauty, Obsession, and the Natural History Heist of the Century by Kirk Wallace Johnson. There's a story within a story here. Kirk Wallace Johnson, the author of The Feather Thief, has a remarkable story all his own. Here's how he describes how he became, himself, a serious fly fisherman and came to know about this story. He writes, 7 years earlier, while on vacation from my job coordinating the reconstruction of the Iraqi city of Fallujah for USAID, I sleepwalked out of a window in a PTSD-triggered fugue state and nearly died. I was left with broken wrists, a shattered jaw, broken nose, and a cracked skull, with scores of stitches across my face, to say nothing of a newfound fear of sleep and the tricks my brain might play on me during the night. During my recovery, I realized that many of my Iraqi colleagues, translators, civil engineers, teachers, and doctors, were being hunted and killed by their own countrymen because they had collaborated with the United States. I spoke out on their behalf in an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times, naively thinking that someone in power would swiftly fix things by granting them visas. I hadn't anticipated the thousands of emails that would soon flood in from Iraqis imploring me for help. I was unemployed, sleeping on a futon in my aunt's basement. I didn't know the first thing about helping refugees, but I started to track the names of everyone who wrote to me. He goes on. Unexpectedly, fly fishing became a kind of release. Out on the river, there were no journalists to call or donors to beseech, just currents and insects to study and rising trout to tempt. Time took on an unusual quality. 5 hours would pass in what felt like 30 minutes. After a day in my waders, I would close my eyes and see faint outlines of fish fanning dreamily upstream as I drifted into a deep sleep. It's a fly fishing friend who tells him about a remarkable recent crime, the theft of 299 century-old bird specimens from an outlet of the British Museum of Natural History, perpetrated by a young American man, a fly-tying prodigy named Edwin Rist. And for whatever reason, Johnson immediately feels himself obsessed by the story of this crime. The basics include these facts. Edwin Rist, a 19-year-old American, a student at the London Royal Academy of Music, broke into a facility of the British Museum of Natural History and stole 299 bird specimens, some of them more than a century old, all of them collected and preserved to provide invaluable information to scientists. He did so on his own, in the dead of night, taking the train to and from the scene of the crime. Johnson sets the stage for telling this dramatic story by establishing the value of the hundreds of bird specimens in the British Museum of Natural History, going back to the 1800s when budding naturalist Alfred Russel Wallace decided to make his name by collecting birds from places untouched by other naturalists. Wallace's story has plenty of drama and exotic settings, and beneath his remarkable work is a compulsion to learn and then connect to other naturalists by the expertise he develops, including the eminent Charles Darwin himself. The book includes an interesting sidelight, a description of a fascinating mingling of the ideas of Darwin with young Wallace. For Wallace happened to send Darwin a letter detailing some breakthroughs in his own thinking regarding evolution and natural selection, which came to him in a malarial fever. They happened to parallel almost exactly ideas that Darwin had been honing for years. An amazing incident of two people in completely different circumstances landing on the same scientific breakthrough. Once Johnson has established the history and importance of the bird specimens, he then launches on the story of the 21st century's feather thief himself, Edwin Rist. He grew up being homeschooled in Pennsylvania and showed exceptional intelligence. At a certain point, he and his brother become interested in fly tying, creating the intricate ties that resemble insects and thus inspire fish to bite. And so Johnson must explain this world of fly tiers, with competitions and rules and its own kind of royalty. Edwin Rist quickly rises into the top tiers of fly tiers, a remarkably adept young tier who wins competitions and becomes world-renowned in just a few years. Like Alfred Russel Wallace more than a century before, Rist develops expertise that puts him in contact with the giants of his avocation. He also happens to be such a promising musician that he moves to London for further study of the flute. Historically, fly tyers have incorporated feathers into their flies, and especially for the group of tyers who are creating new flies from the patterns developed over a century ago, feathers are key. This has created a market for feathers of all kinds, with a premium for feathers from rare birds. There are many laws that now regulate and often forbid use of feathers from extinct or endangered birds. In his quest for authentic feathers, and in his obsession with fly tying, Edwin Rist convinced himself that science did not need all the specimens owned by the British Museum of Natural History. He believed that they were put to better use by fly tyers, who would use them and appreciate them, and yes, would also pay Edwin a pretty penny for them. In The Feather Thief, Johnson connects the stories of various people who relate somehow to the theft of the feathers, from Edwin's early interest in fly tying to the events leading up to the crime itself, the offering and purchase of these priceless specimens, and to the crime solution almost a year later. There's an interesting twist about Edwin's sentencing following his conviction in British court, and the story could reasonably end there. But Johnson can't let it rest, because around 60 of the 299 bird specimens remain missing, and he wanted to figure out what happened to them. So he stayed on the trail, though not tying up every loose end. There are so many aspects of this book that appeal. First of all, narrative nonfiction. As a friend of mine has noted about this genre, there is usually a problem to be solved, followed by research and perhaps resolution. The author's challenge is to create a strong narrative thread, even as he must weave in a good deal of information to set the context. I'm an avid, though completely amateur, birdwatcher myself, so I was drawn immediately to the idea of someone obsessed with birds and feathers. Also, I'd heard a story about this on NET Radio, part of a summer episode of This American Life. I recall that I was driving to Aurora on Interstate 80, and their story of this remarkable theft of bird specimens made the 75 miles seem like 10. Johnson's insertion of himself into this story works perfectly, that he took up fly fishing to relieve the pressure of his gut-wrenching work to rescue Iraqi people, that he switched from one obsession to another. He reflects on how he knows that in the course of this story, he's sometimes asking people to reflect on how they were fooled or betrayed by people they trusted, and yet he asks and asks. Certainly, he keeps the story moving along. I read this book in just a few days. Johnson sets that context for the scientific significance of the bird specimens without losing momentum. He seldom bogs down, even when he must explain to lay people the arcane aspects of this feather obsession and the role of technology in moving feathers around the world. He's especially good at seeking out the interesting people connected to the story and largely letting them speak for themselves. If I have a quibble with the book, it's in his penchant for ending some chapters with Hardy Boy-style cliffhangers, such as this one, toward the middle of the book, when Edwin has stolen specimens and begun putting them up for sale, but before he is caught. Safe as he felt, Edwin had no way of knowing that in 1 month's time, hundreds of miles away in a small Dutch town, one of his customers would make an offhand comment that would bring it all crashing down. It seems a shame that Johnson uses this sometimes breathless over-dramatizing of the story, which really stands on its own two dramatic feet. And that's too bad, because an extensive note section and bibliography establishes the serious depth of his research. There's a strong index, something we used to take for granted in nonfiction, but which some nonfiction books have recently failed to include. Who's the audience for 256 pages about the theft of century-old bird specimens from the British Museum? I plan to recommend The Feather Thief to many of my fiction reading friends as something that's a little bit different, but will satisfy their hunger for stories. I'm not sure it will be loved by serious students of science due to that over-dramatizing tendency I mentioned. But more and more, people are realizing the satisfaction of narrative nonfiction on all varieties of topics. And I do expect that many of them will enjoy today's book, The Feather Thief: Beauty, Obsession, and the Natural History Heist of the Century by Kirk Wallace Johnson. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.